Everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. Today, want to touch a little bit on some of the overall news in the market right now. A little bit lack thereof in regards to the volatility. I thought the block, Frank Shapiro, put out a nice piece, so we will dive into that. I also want to talk about a recent move that I made in my portfolio. I know it's been a while since I've updated my portfolio. That will actually be coming tomorrow, but more on that. So I want to talk a little bit about an update to my portfolio in general, kind of a short to medium term trade I think I'm looking at this point in time. Also want to talk about the Decred governance. I thought there was some one of the first kind of go rounds I think of voter participation of really interesting voter governance on compelling topics in my mind in the crypto space. So we will touch on that. As a heads up, tomorrow, so I'm recording this today, it's November 13th. Tomorrow, November 14th, I will actually be recording something. We'll be streaming it live. It'll be 7 p.m. Eastern time. But I'm gonna have it's gonna be myself and a number of my colleagues from AirSwap, and then a number of the companies, partners that we're working with. We're going to be talking with an OTC trading desk, a company, QCP. That'll be really interesting. They're doing a lot of work with stable coins. So we'll be talking with an OTC trading desk, and a lot of people are interested in hearing from an OTC trading desk. So that should be great. We'll also be talking with a company working in the security token landscape, specifically providing a protocol to trade compliant security tokens. And then lastly, we'll be having somebody from Propeller joining to talk about the work that they're doing with tokenized real estate, specifically a $36 million condominium in Manhattan. Then lastly, just providing a little bit of like a roadmap for AirSwap. But would definitely love to have you join. Should be great. It's going to be an hour long talking with a number of these different people, specifically the OTC trading desk and a couple of the other ones I think will be really exciting for the people on the channel. So I hope you join for that. You should be able to set a reminder for that video. So I definitely encourage you to check that out. So hopping into it today. Right now, we have been sitting in the 6,400 range for quite some time. And today, if we look at it, it's actually a somewhat down day in the marketplace right now. Bitcoin's down about 1%, ETH down 1.6, XRP's down a little bit after a decent day yesterday. But if we're looking at the 24-hour change, there's actually only 15 crypto assets that are up in the past 24 hours on on-chain FX. There's 107 listed. So the 75-80+% are actually in the red right now. Most not majorly in the red. But when we look at it, a lot of it is, when you look at Bitcoin as a whole and we're looking at a lot of these other assets, the past month has been one of the, I guess if you're looking for volatility, one of the more boring months in the crypto space in quite some time. We pop down here because just from a trading perspective, there hasn't been that much outside of small cap movements and some of these more very selective kind of outlying coins that are these medium to large cap assets. But Frank from The Block, I will link to this post. He talks a little bit about this. I thought it was a great article, but basically says Bitcoin's volatility is hitting its lowest level in 2 years, and it's forcing traders to shake up their strategy. Granted, when Frank is talking about traders here, he's talking about the more professional or institutional level traders, not necessarily the crypto Twitter shit posters like you, like me, like whoever else it might be. So he talked to a number of the different high frequency trading firms in crypto that basically make their money on volatility. That's really what it comes down to, is these folks make their money when it comes down to volatile markets. And the fact that Bitcoin has basically been a stable coin at $6,400 for the past month and a half is making these high frequency trading firms and crypto trading firms get creative when it comes to making money. So I think it's going to be interesting to see the actual evolution of this. And if we pop down here too, and I'll zoom in on this a little bit. It's a great chart. I've shared this a little bit on Twitter before, but Bitcoin's volatility in 2018 on a 30-day basis, daily returns for the preceding 30 days. In January of 2018, Bitcoin's volatility was about 8% daily. In March, still about 7. we've gone essentially all the way from Bitcoin being at 8% daily volatility starting off the year. And now in July, you know, from essentially July to August, we are looking at still close to 4%. So, I mean, that's a ton of volatility. 4% in a day is an incredible amount of volatility. Right now, we're under 1.5%, I think, for the first time, the lowest point of volatility since, I believe the number was December of 2016. So incredibly low volatility for Bitcoin. And that is something that not only is that incredible low volatility for Bitcoin, but for a lot of the other smaller, typically the smaller cap crypto assets do trade somewhat on an even basis with Bitcoin. If Bitcoin goes up, a lot of the altcoins will go up even higher. Bitcoin goes down, a lot of the other altcoins will go down even harder. But I do think that there is something to be said about these altcoins bleeding out when it comes down to Bitcoin staying steady. A lot of the reason that just people in general, I think personally, are interested in the cryptocurrency markets is because the volatility is basically, I never smoke crack, but the volatility is basically like I would imagine smoking crack is. That's probably a terrible, idiotic, stupid comparison. But I mean, this is like addictive volatility for a lot of people, whether it is actual businesses making money. And like I said before, you know, if you're a high frequency trading firm in crypto, you're making money off of the volatility. If you are a retail investor, you might not be making money. Heck, you're probably losing money. But when you open up Blockfolio or you open up Delta every 5 minutes and you see, you know, your portfolio is fluctuating by hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, that's a dopamine hit like no other. And that is gone. And that's also caused a lot of people to move on. I've talked to a lot of my, you know, quote unquote normie friends who got into crypto in November, December of 2017. Like, hey man, I like, you know, I just bought a bunch back then. And, you know, maybe I'm up a little bit, maybe I'm down a little bit, but I don't even check it because it doesn't even move anymore. Like people are just losing interest. And while that might not necessarily be as bad news for Bitcoin, personally, in my opinion, that might not be really that bad news for Bitcoin because there's still these you know, larger firms that are trading the asset. And then there's also a lot more kind of work being done around the institutionalization per se of Bitcoin, particularly that the beneficiary of the institutionalization, whether or not that is a meme or not a meme, but the beneficiary of the institutionalization is really going to be on Bitcoin and maybe Ethereum. There's really not as much happening from, like, you know, if a large bank or is custodying these assets or something like that, they're not going to be custodying the 450th token on CoinMarketCap. So the beneficiaries, in my mind, even, or the negative impact on a lot of the stuff with Bitcoin staying even is a lot of these people or a lot of the retail investors that are typically buying these lower to mid cap shit coins, for a better word, you know, they're leaving the market. They're not actively checking Delta. They're not actively checking Blockfolio. And when there's no buy support there anymore, you're seeing a lot of these altcoins still bleed out over time. And that's something that I think as the volatility stays and stay, you know, if the volatility continues to decrease, it'll be interesting to see how things pan out with not just Bitcoin, but with the lack of volatility. That is a lack of new entrants on the retail side, in my opinion, and not as much buy support for some of these smaller to mid-cap altcoins. So that's something I'm personally keeping an eye on at this, you know, at this stage. Another thing too, so I've talked about this a little bit. I've talked about this a little bit in the past with specifically with the Coinbase editions. In the past, you know, there was a good bit of time where I said, hey, the speculation around the Coinbase editions doesn't matter. Really specifically talking about XRP, because a lot of people freak out and they're like, you know, when is XRP going to get added to Coinbase? This, that, and the other thing. After we've seen what happened with Basic Attention Token and after we've seen what happened with ZRX, I think there is somewhat of a clear framework from a trade standpoint that I am interested in seeing how it pans out. And back when Coinbase announced who will be the next, or who they will be evaluating, essentially, basically said, hey, we're open to everybody almost, but we're going to be evaluating these five tokens in specific: ZRX, which was added to Coinbase, Basic Attention Token, which was added to Coinbase, Stellar Lumens XLM, Cardano ADA, and Zcash ZEC. Obviously, ZRX and Basic Attention Token are both added to Coinbase. Both of them did very well in the run-up to getting added to Coinbase Pro. Did even better when they got added to Coinbase. ZRX has fallen off. since it was added to Coinbase, it has not performed well. Base contention token fell off after it was added to Coinbase. It kept running after it was added to Coinbase Pro, but it fell off after it was added to Coinbase, since recovered a little bit. But I'm looking right now at, is there an opportunity to make a trade based upon the Coinbase additions? Because it is clear that Coinbase is very interested in adding new assets. And when you look at the volume across the board, volume is way, way down. Especially for these the larger exchanges. I think there was a number that said Binance's volume was down by like 90% at some points in times. Coinbase's was down like 70-80%. They need to do, these exchanges are businesses, and they need, they were growing, they're adding staff, they're opening up new offices. They need to do these things to encourage customers to keep coming back to their exchanges and to their business. And adding new assets, whether people like that or not, adding new assets is one of those things. And so when I look at this, which asset out of the three do I think is the most likely? And I think that there are two that are more likely. I think Cardano is less likely to get added. I think ADA is less likely to get added to Coinbase immediately or off the top. I think that Zcash and XLM Stellar Lumens are more likely to get added to Coinbase rather than ADA. And because of that, my reasoning really is fairly simple. ZEC is Zcash, and it's a privacy coin, but it's optional privacy. And because of that, you would think initially, oh, it's a privacy coin. Like Coinbase is a regulated company. They're never going to want a privacy coin on there. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Gemini, which is arguably maybe even more regulated or regulatory focused than Coinbase is, or at the very least, they're on the same page. Zcash is on Gemini. And Zcash was essentially approved to be on Gemini by the New York Department of Financial Services, which is one of the more difficult regulatory agencies in the US. So when I look at that, I think, hey, there's already a proven regulatory framework for Zcash to be listed on Coinbase. It makes sense. Stellar Lumens XLM, on the other hand, they're doing a $125 million airdrop with blockchain. Blockchain also has a fairly, I would say, well-developed regulatory framework for a lot of these things. They have a pretty solid executive team that has been in the industry for a long time. I don't think that they would be giving away the XLM, the $125 million of XLM, Stellar Lumens, if they thought that there was some type of regulatory snag in doing so. Granted, I could be completely wrong on that, but because of that, I think Stellar Lumens and I also think that Zcash are more likely to be added to Coinbase than ADA is. And because of that, when I'm looking at the market as a whole right now, it's either mostly stagnant or a lot of people are still feeling bearish, especially if Bitcoin breaks below $6,000. I do think that both Zcash and XLM have a solid potential to outperform Bitcoin in the near term. I don't know if they'll, even if Bitcoin falls down, if it might be better to just hold cash or to go fiat instead. But because of that, I opened up a Zcash position and have built up a Zcash position in the past week, also evaluating opening up an XLM position. And the long-term thought process is that I would like to hold that until they get listed on Coinbase Pro, or potentially maybe wait a few days after they get added to Coinbase Pro, because it's typically taken about a week between when something gets added to Coinbase Pro and added to Coinbase. So it would not be a long term, I'm going to hold these things forever and bag hold them forever. I'm not necessarily saying Zcash is good, XLM is good, one's bad, whatever. I do think that there is a decent likelihood that one will, that one or both will perform well in the coming future. And as always, I am not a registered financial advisor. This is not financial advice. I have made awful, stupid, idiotic trades in the past many, many times. And don't do anything because I specifically say, I just like to give my opinion. And if you like it, great. If you think I'm an absolute idiot, I would love to hear from you in the comments, because that makes me happy. And I like to respond back with snark. So feel free to tell me I'm a total dumbass in the comments. It is always appreciated. Keeps me on my toes and keeps me happy. But that's just my thought process coming into the near future. Like I said before, too, it's been, I think, since June 28th since I updated my portfolio on the website. So I've been consolidating and just kind of getting a handle on a bunch of different things. But I will have that updated tomorrow And we'll kind of walk through some of the different components of it as well, and just my thought process in general on the portfolio, and you know, some of the better moves that I had and some of the worst moves that I've had, because there's been good moves and there's been just absolutely terrible moves. Shout out Sen, shout out R-Chain. I got absolutely murdered, wrecked, demolished, and couldn't even exit those positions right now, essentially, if I wanted to. The last thing we'll talk about here, and this is something that I think is interesting. A lot of people talk about decentralization all the time, decentralized governance. Well, what does that mean? What are we actually talking about when we're looking at decentralized governance? Well, this is, I can't even attempt to pronounce this. Palladia, I guess, is the name of it. Palladia, I will attempt to pronounce it and probably pronounce it wrong. But Palladia is the kind of the framework, or really the platform too, that Decred is using for voting. And one of the big things about Decred is it is they are decentralizing components of the governance. And the way in which they did this, I thought was pretty interesting, and brings up some unique points about it as well, because you are allowed to create proposals for Decred on Palladia. So there is a new proposal now for a premium listing on EasyRabbit. I have no clue what EasyRabbit is. And they mentioned, this is essentially a wrap-up post. I'll post this in the Medium. But basically, comments point out that Decred has never paid for an exchange listing. And they are, sounds like this is going to be a voted no. So somebody proposed, hey, you know, we want you to do a premium listing on EasyRabbit. I would bet that EasyRabbit was the one that did that. But looks like comments are saying, hey, no, that's stupid. Another one, they're talking about maybe doing a sweepstakes. And then also people, express doubt that building such a system is worthwhile. Now, there were a couple of proposals that went through and were accepted. There was an open source research proposal. There was a change language from POS mining to POS voting, stake pool, some different kind of language components. They also approved a public relations firm, Ditto. They essentially had a vote, which I thought was kind of cool. They had a vote for a PR firm to hire. And I'm not going to debate the merits or dismerits of public relations and whether or not that's something that's useful or not useful. But this was kind of cool because they literally had the community of Decred holders, of stakeholders in Decred, view actual proposals from these public relations firms, Ditto and Waxman. So they actually viewed the proposals and were able to vote on whether or not they wanted to hire one, hire both, hire neither of them, and even see the economics behind it. So this is, I think, very cool from a governance perspective. Also brings up the point of, are a number of people maybe who have no experience in public relations or in any of these components, should they be the ones voting on this? Or is this the good and the bad of governance? Is maybe, of this decentralized governance, is you have people, impacting decisions and making decisions for the, for the community that might not have experience or expertise or any really knowledge outside of just reading a proposal. And it is also interesting too, from the standpoint of, this was a very social experience from the proposal standpoint, where Decred is basically putting this information out saying, hey, we want a proposal. These companies are going through the process of proposing. And then there's also kind of Reddit style comments. If we go down here, there's Reddit style comments. There was also some feedback, Q&A, questions and answers on Reddit as well. And it's a very different style of sales. I myself am a former software sales guy. I used to work at NetSuite, LinkedIn, Oracle, and sales at companies like that. And I think traditionally PR sales is, maybe you throw on a suit or a nice blazer and you walk into the boardroom, you give a presentation, you smile, you shake some hands, and if they like you, and if you do, do a good job, obviously I'm simplifying things, but if they like you, you do a good job, you build a good relationship, present a compelling product, they sign the contract. This is more like, hey, we're going to put this proposal onto the internet and we're going to have a bunch of anonymous Reddit accounts, ask us questions and view things. And it's a totally different ballgame, really unique in comparison to, I think, what the industry might have traditionally seen, and has kind of strange implications. Is this going to be the way that sales might evolve in the future? Could be kind of cool. Could present a number of opportunities. Could also be a total pain in the butt and lead to a number of negative experiences. Who really knows? But this, I thought, was definitely unique and interesting and worth bringing up, because we talk about, and the industry talks about, decentralization all the time, but what is actually decentralized, and especially governance? Like, decentralized governance, in my opinion, for the most part, is actually just another meme, but Decred's doing a pretty cool job of doing it, and it'll be interesting to see in real time whether or not this type of work pans out, if having the community actually vote on this stuff and being transparent with it too. If we go down here, you can actually see the votes and the percentage of votes for the different PR firms, for the different PR firms and things of that nature. So definitely something worth keeping an eye on with Decred specifically, and also how these other community projects might leverage something like this. Again, tomorrow we'll have a recorded video up, and that will be for the recorded video will be an update to the portfolio, any news, and then during the evening, 7 p.m., we will have the AirSwap Next event, where we'll be talking with an OTC desk, a provider for the DS protocol Securitize, as well as Propeller, who is behind a $36 million tokenized condominium in New York. A lot of good stuff on deck. Definitely take a look at the links below. If you are watching this on YouTube, would love for you to hit the thumbs up button. If you're new here by any chance, hit the subscribe as well. If you're on YouTube, if you're on the podcast, would love a great review. Always good to have you folks on the podcast. Thank you so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Take it easy. Peace.